All right. Well, joining us now, we have...
I miss Molly.
Well, good news. You get her the next 2 weeks. I won't be here.
Miss Molly Ringwald. All right. So joining us now, we have the head golf professional of Pebble Beach. There's worse places you could be the head golf professional at. Eric Lippert joins us. Eric, what's going on today, man?
Not much. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well. Y'all ready for some little golf tournament next week or what?
I hear that we're having a little tournament, you know. Fairly new to the job, so it's, you know, I guess it's some exciting event. I'm not sure.
Do you have to put the foursomes together? I mean, do you have to, like, punch it all into a computer, let the computer spit out who's playing with who?
Yeah. I think it's a scramble, too, isn't it? So, you know, we're some sort of event like that now.
For some of the celebrities, it probably should be a scramble.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no. You know, all the pairings are put together by the Monterey Peninsula Foundation, who essentially is kind of the front runner of running the tournament. We kind of do a lot of background operational stuff day to day and whatnot, but it's going to be a great event. Looks like it's going to be really good weather, so yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those events where golf and TMZ intersects. I mean, do you look at the celebrity list? I mean, I know there's some really notable sort of corporate guys, but do you look at the list and think, okay, I want to see this guy go out and play?
Yeah, it is. And a lot of people like to do that. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the really nice draws for this event, always kind of has been, is you get some celebrities that you maybe wouldn't normally otherwise see. And kind of the fun thing is they're not always in their element, meaning they're not always the best players. Right. So, you know, you get to see them kind of be normal a little bit, I guess, best way to say it.
I imagine some of those celebrities could use a little humbling, and golf is a great way to do that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It can humble the best of us, right?
do you have this draw to the range that just makes you want to go out there and start giving lessons to some of these guys as you watch the swings?
Absolutely not. I don't want to take responsibility for some of the shots that they hit afterward. You know, I don't want to be blamed for the shots that find the crowd or Casa Palmero off the first tee, so... No.
All right. So talk to me about Pebble Beach. I played it way back in 2000. It's been a long, long time. As we watch the golf tournament, we see these celebrities. What's the hardest hole for celebrities or amateurs? And then what generally is the hardest hole for the professionals? Because I got to imagine it might be different.
Somewhat. You know, really, one of the hardest courses is one of the other three that are played, which is Spyglass Hill. But you know, that golf course itself is the whole course wreaks havoc on players. But you know, out here, I would say number 14 is generally the hole that, regardless of who you are and what your skill set is, hole 14 is about 575-yard par 5, plays uphill and generally into the wind a little. So that hole there's a lot of numbers above 5. Let's just say, and on everybody's card. I want to say, if you can remember back a few years ago, it was the one that Paul Goitos struggled with a little bit as he was coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
So it's a tough hole. It's a tough hole. The green complex is difficult. You know, the third shot, they have to lay up a lot of times. The third shot's, you know, being hit into a very small little area on the green, and it's very severe around it, so... A lot of bad can happen.
So if some good happens, is that a place where a guy could actually make a push over the weekend? I mean, is it, if you say the scores are expected to be at par or even over, if somebody can go out there and get a birdie or an eagle on that, does that set them up well? Is that the hole where the good and bad happens?
No, I think it's more a hole that you can kind of lose it. I think you can, if you lose focus a little, you know, you walk away with a six or something like that. You know, and for these players, especially for the professionals, to walk away with a bogey or, you know, or to have to think that a par is a good score on a par 5 is, I think, a little bit of a difficult thing for them to think of. But really, you know, there's a lot of holes out there that can get you. You know, the stretch from 8 to 10, you know, is all on the coastline there, and they're all difficult holes, you know. So those holes there, you can, you know, can really change your fortunes too. I mean, if you walk through there with maybe, let's say, those four holes at 1 under par, I think you're going to make some ground on the field for sure.
Yeah, I just remember playing, I parred 7. The weather was a little benign the day I played. I hit a good shot in on 7, almost made birdie. You know, hit a perfect tee shot right near the end on 8, hit it on the green, two-putted for par, went to 9, got it in the fairway, hit it on the green, two-putted, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I mean, these three holes... I'm so far I'm even par, and then I think I hit my tee shot on 10 on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and every once in a while, it's pretty funny. If the tide is low, you'll see somebody go down there, one of the celebrities or something, go down there and try to play it, and it's, you know, it never works, but it's always a fun thing to watch.
Yeah.
Well, now, Tim, obviously you're busy all week, but if you had to go out to one of the TV camera stands, so you're uh-huh. going to view it from the same angle that I might, where would you go? Where should we be watching from? Like, what holes should we be looking for? If you were going to sit there all day and watch, where would it be?
The 19th hole, right?
I like him!
Oh, well done. Well done. I think I can ask him the inappropriate question I was planning.
They call it the tap room, right? That's where some of the most interesting things happen throughout the week.
I can imagine.
But you know, honestly, I think I would either put myself somewhere there's some skyboxes on 17. If someone would invite me in, I would certainly go up there, because you can watch 17 and 18 and kind of watch the drama unfold, really. I mean, they're iconic holes. They're gorgeous holes if you're going to sit and kind of watch all day. But there are also holes where, you know, a lot can happen. I mean, you remember that, you know, 17 is the place where a lot of the biggest chip-ins and great shots have occurred through the years, through U.S. Opens and whatnot. And then 18 is really, I mean, it's such a risk-reward hole. You'll see players go for it if they've got a chance to possibly win, you know, try to go for it in two. If they've got a lead, I think Mickelson a few years back hit a 7-iron off the tee just to make sure he had a ball in play to go ahead and win. So I think you know, it's just those are a great spot to be, you know.
All right, so I got to ask this question. So when you're out and about, not at the golf course, and you're out and you're traveling or you're going to shows or maybe the PGA merchandise show last week, and people find out, you know, that you're from Pebble Beach. You know, I know Mike's got a separate question about this.
No, he just buried the lead, but go ahead and answer it.
How many people ask, can I come play? What's the percentage?
You know, it's first of all, you try not to say exactly where you're from. I say I work for Pebble Beach Company usually, and then see how far they want to go from there. You know, but, you know, I mean, look, to be honest, you know, you get a lot of people asking, but. But, you know, I understand it. I mean, it's Pebble Beach, and I mean, I'm blessed to be here, so I completely understand it, you know. I want to play it every day, too.
Yeah, but come on. When you put the name tag on, you're taking the sticky off the back, and it says, you know, hi, my name is Tim. I'm from Pebble Beach. You got to know you're not going to have trouble finding somebody to dance with.
Well, it's true, and it helps an ugly guy like me out, you know.
Mark is, you know, busily scratching his own name tag now.
Listen, I got a perfect face for radio. Just know that.
So do we.
Most of us do, right? That's why we do radio.
Oh, man. So have there been any changes out there last year to this year that we should look for in the golf course?
Nothing that's going to be tremendously noticeable via camera. But certainly the players will notice that the 17th green – you know, we made some changes to that. The overall look of it is going to be similar, but, you know, there's a big mound in the middle of the green there, and that's right. Kind of been flattened out a little, and we've kind of, you know, gained some more square footage on the green itself by kind of expanding the outside perimeter of the entire green.
Is that kind of a go back to the way it was look?
A little bit, but also, you know, with the Open coming up in 19, you know, you want to start making little tweaks here and there.
Right.
I don't know if you remember watching the 2010 Open, but really the players, they just struggled the last day. I mean, if you hit a good shot to hit the green, it was on the back edge or off, you know. So this will allow for some of these shots to, you know, kind of collect the ball a little bit better, I think, for upcoming Opens. And then, you know, for the tournament itself, you know, they don't play the U.S. Open tee on that hole. Partly because you need to have all the stanchions there in the viewing, but you know, it'll still make it a little more playable too. It's a great change, you know, and again, the hole hasn't lost its appeal or its look, but the players will certainly notice a little difference.
All right, Eric, I want to take you down to the teaching facility, because we have pros on from all over the country, and one of the things that I'm trying to figure out is how do we execute a cultural change in golf that people come to you and instead of saying, hey, I'd like to add 10 yards to my drive, they say, hey, I'd like to take 3 strokes off my round?
Well, first of all, it's easy to add some strokes, add some distance. You know, honestly, I always tell them, hit the tee shot and then take 5 steps back, and we just added 5 yards. So, easiest way to add a quick 5.
But can you get people to buy into that and say, hey, you know what? Don't spend so much time trying to add length to your drive. Let's get your short game in shape, and you'll score better.
Well, you know, certainly that would help. I mean, I think a lot of times people just don't they use lessons more so as a kind of an organized practice session. You know, versus taking away a plan from that lesson and saying, okay, I'm going to work on this piece right now. You know, and really, you can say short game, but it also benefits people to be in the fairway more often,
right.
You know. And I think if people, you know, a lot of the times when I work with students, I try to get them to understand that really it's, you know, you're not going to – if you consistently hit the ball 140 yards instead of trying to hit it 150 or 160 with that club – You're actually going to gain some yardage. Your average yardage with that club is actually going to be more. You know, you have to have some consistency. And when the best players in the world are hitting an 8-iron from 160, 65 yards, you probably shouldn't be.
So you're willing to join my movement, and we're going to barnstorm the country? No. I need a guy whose name tag says Pebble Beach.
I see what you're saying here. I see what you're doing. Yeah, what?
Tread lightly.
You're building a team.
I'm trying to put together an all-star team to change golf.
Tread lightly, Eric. Okay. Tread lightly.
Yeah, I see that. Maybe we could go back to the 19th hole again.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now. You know, what do you think, based on what you're seeing for weather conditions? And, you know, we know these rounds do get a little long with the celebrities out there sometimes. What do you think? What do you think comes Sunday afternoon if you put your feet up at the 19th hole and you're going to say, this is the number that I want to be at that's going to be able to hoist the trophy?
Well, I think, first of all, last year was record score. I want to say it was around 25 under or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the courses are, you know, unbelievable right now. But you're not going to get as much rollout as you did last year. I would guess probably somewhere in that 20 range, that 18 to 20 range.
Yeah.
If the weather's calm, if it gets a little blustery, you know, you're probably going to move it down to about 13 or 14. You know, Spyglass just doesn't give up a lot either. You know, that golf course generally plays a couple strokes harder than the other two. You know, barring any weather. When you get a lot of wind, Pebble gets very difficult.
All right, Eric. So can we pin you down? Who wins it, or what kind of player does the course favor?
Well,
right now?
I can say the guy that's going to win is the guy with the lowest score, right? That's guaranteed.
Brant Snedeker.
I was going to say, yeah, Brant Snedeker, he's the defending champion. He's playing well. He'll do well. You know, Mickelson's won it 4 times.
Yeah.
He seems to be kind of moving in the right direction. He plays well out here. Dustin Johnson, too, you know, he wins every year, and he's won it twice. So those are some guys I'd be watching. And, of course, Jordan Spieth, I mean, what can you say there? He's going to be playing. So,
is there somebody out there that the tournament director, in terms of telling a story over the weekend, is there a player out there that everybody would like to see in contention?
Well, I think, obviously, from a rating standpoint, you want Jordan Spieth,
yeah,
you know, knocking heads with somebody. That certainly helps viewership, but I would think of Mickelson. People really, really enjoy him. He's been coming for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think that would be kind of fun to see. I know he had a struggle, you know, a tough year last year as well. So I would say I think that's probably would be a kind of more of a crowd favorite in a sense.
All right, Eric. Last question before we let you go. Over under on television broadcasts times that they say the words marine layer.
Well, it's not the middle of the summer, so they won't have too much reason to use it. But okay. The over-under is probably 12 per hour, right?
Yeah, per hour.
We can get rid of that one and trundle. Oh, my gosh. It's trundling toward the hole.
Well, Eric,
yeah,
man.
Trundling.
We hope...
I've never trundled. But
no. You know. I'm not a big trundler.
I have.
I'm not a big trundler.
We look forward to a great week next week, and we'll sit around and see what happens on Sunday afternoon. We appreciate you coming on, Eric.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too.